My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast rolling along with you in the 8 o'clock hour. Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast here with Seth Payne. And Seth, I enjoyed this piece that DJ Bienemy did on ESPN.com about CJ Stroud. The things that I enjoyed about it were giving you some perspective on how Snoop Dogg's Little League football, or how Snoop Dogg's Football League, influenced CJ Stroud in his younger years. The work, honestly, that league is trying to do to reach out to kids that don't necessarily have all of the resources, whether it be the money or the connections to be in some of the more high profile leagues, or maybe some of the more expensive leagues. This is really one that tries to reach down into the inner city and just create opportunities. But for CJ Stroud specifically, man, this is a really good piece. I would encourage Texans fans and CJ Stroud fans to check it out on ESPN.com. Again, DJ Bienemy did some really good work here. Talk to Snoop Dogg, and also talk to some people that were really heavy influences on CJ in his most important years. And really in some of his most more developmental years, where he really establishes himself as the leader that I feel like we see today with the Texans.
Yeah, that, you know, so many times, especially nowadays, where you start talking about, okay, why do guys not seem to have the same technical development and everything that they used to, aside from just not playing as much in college, you know. Part of it is just some of the travel league stuff. Is guys are out, just they're competing a lot more against good competition, but they're not necessarily getting as much practice and necessarily as much structure and everything. So I actually really enjoyed reading about this league and how much the actual coaching mattered to CJ Stroud and how much they worked with him on being a leader as a quarterback. And I don't think it's necessarily the same experience that a lot of guys get when they might play in a travel league or a more highly competitive league or what have you, where it just becomes more about just trying to get as many all-star caliber kids on your roster as possible. Because they really, like, they did a good job working with him to teach him what it means to be a quarterback, and that it starts with just really forming a relationship with your team and your teammates, but then actively leading. You know, for youth kids, like for the quarterback to be leading the film session and everything, I don't think that's a universal experience that a lot of 13-year-olds get. And from a young age, he's had that experience. So and then he went to a school where he got to kind of come up from the bottom at Ohio State and had to consciously learn how to be a leader in a high-profile situation. So for a kid that had a really dicey upbringing in a lot of ways and a lot of turmoil in his life, this, like, Snoop Dogg's league was a real source of stability for him, which is nice to see.
Yeah, and I think this is, reading this piece, and there were some things in here that I already knew and some things that I learned. And the things that I learned, I feel like, sort of reinforced some ideas or opinions that I already had about CJ. But I do think that this is part of why I'm so bought in or so sold on CJ Stroud, Seth. I think he's clearly got the play that suits the eye test. Like, you can just watch CJ Stroud and without necessarily knowing a whole lot about football, you can kind of see, oh, that guy seems to be doing positive things. They're moving the ball down the field or they're scoring points. Like, you don't really need football mansplained to you watching CJ Stroud. He's very clearly and obviously and transparently good at it. And then the stats back it up. He's got these insane stats of some of these historical numbers that we've gone over since the end of the season of what his rookie year looked like. Some of the things that he did, even his, like, touchdown interception ratio and just all of it, right? But then also, and this article speaks to it, there is this energy around him and this belief from not just CJ Stroud's peers, I feel like, but then there's this energy and belief also from people who are much older and wiser than CJ Stroud that also feel the same way. And that, to me, honestly, Seth, makes me go like, okay, it factor, when you talk about it factor, that usually strikes me as lame. It strikes me as like, so maybe somebody just doesn't really know how to express what they want to talk about.
Yeah.
But in this case, I feel like it's appropriate. Like, I normally think that the it factor conversation sounds lame, but that this guy really does actually have an it factor. Am I a hypocrite?
No, I think the quote in there that really is the most telling along those lines was that his coach Fly, did they ever say his actual name in this article or not? But yeah. He used to be a rapper, Superfly, but they just called him Coach Fly. So the FKA Superfly was the only coach in the area that believed CJ could run a full passing offense and read defenses. So, like, that coach identified that in CJ and put more on his plate than a lot of the other young quarterbacks had at that time. You know, like, so whatever it factor, just, like, honestly, simply his processing ability, which is very obvious in the way that he played football in his rookie year and how he operated like a veteran in a lot of respects. His ability to process was just, like, freakishly. It was almost like a math genius had walked into your math class, it sounds like, when CJ showed up into this league.
Coach Fly's government name, I believe, is Priest Brooks. That's how they that's how they introduced Coach Fly in the beginning of the article. So Priest Brooks is Coach Fly. And yes, he was a producer and or rapper or some type of affiliate with Death Row way, way, way back in the day. And so that's the connection with Snoop. You mentioned CJ Stroud's processing and that part of it being elite. This is why it's been hard for me to talk about what his improvement is going to look like going from year one to year two. And I think another part of it is just that I don't know if I've seen a rookie be as advanced as he was or as advanced as he is. And so I don't know how to take that and say, okay, now it's got to get this much better, or now it's got to look like this. So what I'm asking you, Seth, is how do we gauge this? How do we, what is a fair expectation for a rookie going into year two? So going from year one to year two, processing the game and developing when it seemed like in their first year they were already at an advanced level. Like, is it okay if, let's say, he doesn't take this huge jump mentally because he was already starting at a place that was much, much higher than zero? Like, he was already starting with a high floor mentally and processing.
And I would say, like, along those lines for what you're talking about, I would say he was operating at a level mentally that you're hoping your quarterback gets to by year three, where that's, because that's when you got to make that decision. And that's where, when you get in a tough spot, like where you are with Tua Tagovailoa or where the Jaguars were with Trevor Lawrence, the unknown for both those guys is still, all right. And honestly, it's still this way with Josh Allen to a certain degree. Is this guy going to get to that point where he really gets and understands what's happening after the snap and how the matchups have changed based on our routes and our matchups with these receivers versus these defensive backs? That's where CJ was showing a lot of proficiency in the second half of the season that a lot of other young quarterbacks, like, you're hoping to get to that guy by year three. That's why I feel so good about him definitely getting an extension after year three, because that's more than anything, you know what the guy's physical skills are. You want to know, what does he do when things break down and how well is he reading defenses? And CJ gets a lot of that stuff already. For me, the biggest thing, honestly, and I expect this to happen, and it's something that didn't happen with Deshaun Watson, is how involved and how much responsibility does he take for the run game? Because that's the thing that bothered me most about Deshaun, including in 2020 when he was playing very, very well as a passer, was that he didn't seem to be bothered by nor take any responsibility for the fact that the run game was atrocious. And that's something that's a big deal. And you could see it in the way that Deshaun was kind of lazy with his fake handoffs and some of the things he did in the play action game. CJ's already shown an attention to detail in that regard. But a lot of it, if you think back to, there was a play in the Titans game down in the red zone where they, you know, Case switched up. I think he changed the mic point on a run play, because basically the Titans were showing a different front than they were expecting or they had shown before. And it ended up being a successful run because of it. And he actually, that's what John Harris and I had talked about it after the game, and we suspected that's what happened. Sean and Mark talked to Case this offseason, and Case kind of confirmed it. Like, that's the kind of stuff, because Case has seen 10 years of this and he's been in an offense like this before, that's the kind of stuff that a veteran quarterback sees that a rookie hasn't necessarily really even been asked to get involved in yet. I think the run game is where CJ's probably going to put a lot of his focus this offseason into, because he's so mature and he understands exactly how in this offense everything is all tied together. The run game, like, it's not just like running to set up the pass. It gets more involved with that with the way these plays are structured. I think if you see the run game struggling this year, CJ is going to take a lot of personal responsibility for that and like take it on him to be the guy that's in charge of getting everything right in the run game.
Yeah, I remember you making this point after that Titans game, making the point about what Case did, and really at the time it felt like, I don't want to, like I'm speaking for you, but it felt like it was more of a point about Case specifically and Case's experience himself. Like, because, you know, remember the debate was Case versus Davis, because CJ was obviously concussed. So do they go with Davis Mills or do they go with Case Keenum?
Yeah.
And aside from, like, the swagger and, like, the whatever feeling that Case gave the team on top of that, like, he was just a flat-out more experienced guy, like a guy who had just seen more than Davis. And I remember you making that point about him checking into that run. And I honestly, until that point, had not given much thought. And we had been so impressed by what CJ was doing, and rightfully so, I had not given much thought to CJ's role in the run game or lack thereof or just how that was materialized. And I hadn't thought about it much until then, until you made that point. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that develops this year, especially having upgraded the position at the top end with Joe Mixon.
Right. Right, right, yeah, and then I think Joe Mixon can be valuable in that regard too. And yeah. I think Devin Singletary was probably a good resource for CJ also. But Joe Mixon, you know, just Joe Mixon has had a better career, like pretty objectively, than Devin Singletary has. He's a different guy,
yeah.
And he's been in offenses very similar to this one before, or run games especially similar to this one. So I think that that's the biggest thing that the really, really good quarterbacks do is that, you know, they don't judge themselves by how many touchdowns they've thrown or how many interceptions they've thrown. They judge themselves by how good is the offense. And that's the one thing missing from this offense to make it a genuinely potent NFL offense is that you don't have to be leading the league in rushing or anything, but if the game situation demands that you run the ball well, or if the game plan demands that, then that's what the offense is for that day. And the good quarterbacks have a lot more ownership and involvement in that than the guys who think that it's just a 7-on-7 drill out there.
So I wonder, Seth, if we underestimate the leadership that guys like Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, since we just mentioned them, like the leadership that those guys could bring because of their positions and their reputations, like a running back and a wide receiver, and we know the reputations that precede Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs. I wonder if, for whatever reason, folks have not allowed themselves to view them as leaders. But I feel like aside from them being excellent football players, they've both played quite a bit of meaningful football games, and it feels like that should matter.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up Stephon Diggs, because look, it's off season, it's press conferences. At the end of the day, you can't read too much into it. But I think there's two things that Stephon Diggs has said or posted on social media this off season that have been very positive. Which is one, he posted, "Don't put the cart before the horse." And like that was a not all that cryptic a tweet. That's just a standard old cliche saying that don't get too far ahead of yourselves. And I think if I were to read into it, I'm guessing he's talking about all of the excitement and all the expectations that have been heaped on the Texans, all the positivity that's been heaped on the Texans right now, because he's coming from a situation in Buffalo where they were that, oh, yep, this is the next team. This is it's their turn next. Oh, they're knocking at the door. They just got to kick it in Buffalo. And it was like that for several years where, oh, yeah, boy, Buffalo's right there. Buffalo's probably the team that's going to challenge them this year. And they never delivered on it there. So I think he understands what it's like. Like, Buffalo has been getting, like, a couple years ago, they were the one that was getting all the praise and all the heaped of compliments and everything from the national media as the darling team of the offseason. So there's that. But then also in his press conference, he was talking about it, not trying to make a point or anything, but about how he kind of, I think, found it, like, I think he was kind of pleasantly almost surprised that he was all of a sudden an elder statesman, that like all these young guys, remember, he was like, yeah, these young guys, I'm talking to them, I was like, oh man, they're saying the exact same stuff I used to say when I was a young guy. And I think as much as you can reinforce that with him, that like, hey man, you're the wise old dude. You don't have to call him old, but you're the wise veteran here that's going to help out Tank Dell, that's going to help out Nico Collins, that you can be a mentor to these guys. I think it seems like he might really be enjoying that already. And like whatever potential for drama there is about targets or anything like that, yeah, maybe you can diffuse it a little bit by virtue of him almost as a guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, branding him as like his brand being like, oh yeah, I'm a guy that helps make the whole squad better. If you need a veteran to come in and help your young guys out in your quest to win a Super Bowl, then I'm the free agent for you. And that's like a reinvention almost of his public persona that I don't think would be forced or anything. I just think that it's something he might genuinely enjoy doing.
Yeah. On top of the fact that, I mean, his calling card is getting open. You know what I mean?
Right, right. That helps too. He's got to do that part too, yeah.
Well, but it's also to me why I don't buy in. Like, there's only one football to throw at a time. I get that. But it's also part of the reason why I don't necessarily buy into, you know, what if Steph is this?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Disgruntled because he's not getting the targets. If he comes in and is true to form, like true to his actual player profile, scouting profile, and identity, that shouldn't be an issue because Stephon Diggs should be open a time or two. You know,
yeah.
Like I feel
right.
Like that's fair enough and safe enough to say. He's Seth Payne. I'm Brandon Scott. Ian for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, do the Texans have a defensive tackle who is as good as my co-host? We'll talk about that next.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast rolling along. Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Hope he's enjoying his vacation. Got to see, hey, you know one thing. We're going to get it chronicled from Sean. We're going to get the pictures. We'll see how it's going.
He's basically like a travel writer when he goes on vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like
he's our own Jack Kerouac is what he is.
Where did I see him last?
His experience on the road, inspiring a generation to go for it. Like, he went to a game in Arlington, and then he was in Kansas City yesterday, right?
Yeah. So Sean Pendergast is basically doing the thing that, quite frankly, I'm not in a position to do. He's an empty nester. He's got like a 20-year head start on me on, like, you know, making money. And so, like, he's just got all the things going for him. My oldest is,
kids are all out of college at this point. Have their own jobs and everything.
Yeah,
he's not donating to the GoFundMes of three separate, like, hungry mouths anymore. He can just go out and live his life.
Exactly. He's got a kid that just got through law school, and, you know, I've got my kid still trying to grab the change that I get from when I pay a cashier. Like, oh, can I?
Yeah.
Dad, can I have the $10 that you get back? You know, like, I'm still, yeah, because, of course, to them, $10 is like, you know, a lot of money because they have no sense for it.
Three kids remove every bit of slack from your life. It's just, there's no slack anywhere. You just, everything's, yeah, you got them,
dude,
holding you down at any given moment. Yeah.
Zero. Zero slack at all. So shout out to Sean Pendergast for living his best life. I encourage it and support it. But I got this. I got to wondering about this, Seth, with the Texans. Their biggest weakness or their greatest need, however you want to term that, but I think those are the same thing. Your biggest weakness or your greatest need. And I saw this list from CBS Sports that was going over the biggest needs for the AFC teams ahead of training camp. And I thought, oh, well, I cover an AFC team. I know an AFC team, and I feel like I know what their biggest need is. I wonder if CBS Sports agrees with me. And of course, you could maybe point to a number of things that you feel like could be the biggest need, but it seemed pretty obvious to me, and they went with it. And so it's why I posed the question earlier. Do the Texans have a defensive tackle as good as Seth Payne? Now,
yeah, I don't like that question one bit.
Now,
there's almost no way for me to come out of this other than just being incredibly self-deprecating.
Here's one way. Not as good as the Seth Payne that played from 97 to 2007. I think that was your career roughly, right?
Yeah.
It was a different era,
man. It was a different time. Things were different back then, man.
Very different game. So I'm asking about the Seth Payne that sits across from me right now on July 5th, 2024. And I understand that you haven't been training, and that would be a terrible idea for you to be training. I don't know why you would be doing that anyway. But if you were, or if you were to, do the Texans have a defensive tackle that could go out there and just give us, like, can we ask for this group of defensive tackles on this team to at least give us a Seth Payne level performance?
Well, I would say yes, but the thing is, like, so I would say things have changed a lot, is that there are just more defensive tackles who are all around three down players, I think, than there used to be, and they do it really, really well. So there used to be more of a place for a run-stuffing defensive tackle, and then you'd have a guy who was more of a pass-rushing defensive tackle. And I could be in there on first and second down, and then nickel comes on the field, and I leave the field so your pass rushers can come in. Because the offenses are so much more versatile now, and because they can run and pass from every formation, and there's just less of a clear line, I think it's harder anymore to have a guy that's just a run stuffer. And when you do, you've just got to be really good about matching up to offensive personnel. But there's just so many guys now that are 330 pounds and can also rush the passer, provide push or whatever, that's what you're looking for. So I think they do have guys on this team where the way it's constructed, they've got some guys that are better run players and aren't very good at pass rushing, and then they've got some guys who are smaller and sleeker and very good at rushing from the inside, but you don't necessarily want them out there when you're trying to stop the run. So they can get by with the guys they have right now, but they just – it's going to be – it's not as nice and natural as if you have guys that can just be out there for all three downs. And they can stop the run when the offense is in a three wide receiver formation or anything else. So I would say the Foley Fatakasi is the one who's more like an old school run stuffer, and you don't expect that much from him necessarily as a pass rusher. But even Tim Settle, who's a huge dude, he's got like some wiggle to him, you know, like, and he can turn his hips and he can do some good things athletically. So I would like just like to remove me from it. I would say, yeah, all these guys are different athletically than I was.
Yeah.
I probably would have gotten moved to offensive guard in today's NFL. My hips were so stiff. I'm embarrassed sometimes when I go back and watch the stiffness of my hips, Brandon. They would have watched me dancing at a frat party in college or something on social media. And they'd be like, oh no, this guy's definitely going to be an offensive guard. There's no way in hell we're allowing him in that D-line meeting room. No, they'll get laughed out of the place.
Hey man. The great philosopher Shakira once said that the hips don't lie.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, that was me. Ironically enough, to a Shakira song back in college.
I totally understand. So obviously I'm being tongue-in-cheek about you, just throwing you in there to have a little bit of fun with it. But you did give us some insight on what the heart of my question here is, or what I'm really trying to get at here Seth, and that is, what do they have at defensive tackle? Okay. Like, what? And you mentioned Foley Fatakasi and Tim Settle, you know, being a large human being. That is the part that I feel like Texans fans don't necessarily have the greatest sense for, because Sheldon Rankins did leave in free agency. Malik Collins was traded. Tierre Tart is gone. Like, and then they bring in Foley Fatakasi. We obviously know DeNico Autry from playing in the division for as long as he has, but I'm uncomfortable with just like sliding him in there as an interior guy, knowing that he plays on the edge as well. I don't know how much necessarily to view him as an interior guy, or just view him as a hybrid. Like, what are we dealing with this position group?
Okay, I would say on the whole, this is like a genuinely extremely, extremely competitive situation, like maybe more so than I've ever seen at the defensive tackle position for the Texans. Because I think, look, Mario Edwards and DeNico Autry, they can both play down inside. They're not big guys, but they are, like, they're tough, like, they'll swing a lead pipe upside your head type of dudes. Like, so they're not afraid to play the run, but, you know, physically they're not a huge presence, like, where if you got to go out and just, hey, our one objective here is to stuff the run, you're not necessarily going to have those guys in there, but they can play both ways. So, like, I like those guys. But if you go down to the one guy that Nick Caserio, I think this is the only guy that he brought up unprompted this offseason, that he, when he was in with Sean and I, he brought up McTelvin Aguim, who's a defensive tackle who had been in Denver but was in, like, a Vic Fangio defense where – I don't think his skill set was necessarily suited to a Vic Fangio defense. I think his skill set is much more suited to a DeMeco Ryans defense. Like, I'll just throw him out there because it's a name that hardly anybody knows or has heard of, but I think there's actual genuine potential there. And I would go down the line to, like, Marcus Harris, the draft pick. I think there's genuine potential there. I think Tim Settle, I think there's some untapped potential there. I think that there is a chance that one of these guys becomes, and I think this is the way that Nick thinks. Like, I don't think he knows exactly which guy it'll be, but I think there's a chance that one of these guys is a diamond in the rough, and he can end up doing something. Like, I'll throw Feldarius Payne into the mix too, but I think he's much more of a project. So he was the undrafted rookie free agent, but he's very undersized. He was an outside linebacker in Nebraska 3 years ago, 3 years ago, and then had an Achilles tendon tear, and then played inside for Virginia Tech at defensive tackle last year. Like, he'd be a guy more that's probably a pass rusher type, but not necessarily a guy that you want in there versus the run. Like, so there's, you throw Kurt Heinisch back into the mix, who's kind of like more of an old school type of defensive lineman. Like, there's 8-9 guys that are competing for defensive tackle right now that I feel generally pretty good about, that you're going to get better play out of them than you expected. But, like, none of them's a Dexter Lawrence or anything like that.
Yeah. So we don't have a Dexter Lawrence on the roster, but the one thing I am trying to gather beyond just, like, what do we have is also, what is DeMeco Ryans' type? Like, obviously we know what kind of defense he runs. We got to see that. We've seen that in San Francisco. Got to see it here for a year. We understand that. But this is the first year, to me, it feels like, where, I mean, he'd inherited Malik Collins. Obviously, they brought in Sheldon Rankins. But it feels like now we're going to get a sense for, especially depending on who plays, who wins these competitions, what is his type at that position? What is he looking for? I don't feel like I've got a great answer.
The most obvious example would be the one guy that they actively went out and tried to get to swap out for Malik Collins.
Yes.
Is Eric Armstead.
Yes, yes.
So,
yes.
Like, Eric Armstead is that new age defensive tackle. And I would say, I mean, there have always been guys like Eric Armstead, but there's just more and more of them now where he's a big dude, not bulky, but long. He's a big guy who can occupy a lot of space, and he can stop the run, but he can also rush the passer really well. So I think ultimately, I'm guessing because DeMeco puts such a premium on physicality, And because in this defense, a lot of times they're funneling, they're actively trying to funnel the run to inside the offensive tackles. They're trying to turn everything back inside. That puts a lot of pressure on your linebackers, especially because they've got pass coverage obligations, but they're also, you know, they also got to come up and stop the run where there's like there's one extra gap to defend inside in this defense. I think that he wants size, he wants length, he wants those things, like almost just by geometry you're helping the linebackers out. You got bigger guys in there, like it's just harder for the whether you're playing well or not, it's harder for the offensive line to get past a bigger guy. So that's what he's looking for, and they weren't really able to go out and find one of those guys this year, so I think they're just doing it by committee. It's going to be you've got bulk with Tim Settle and Foley Fatakasi out there. You've got other guys that can do it athletically, but there's no way for me to say, oh, yeah, nope, they got this guy, and that's exactly who they're looking for at defensive tackle. I think they like a lot of the things that Mario Edwards and Denico Autry can do athletically, but I don't think he looks at them. You know, when it comes to them playing defensive tackle, they're more along the lines of like a Malik Collins and a Sheldon Rankins, of guys that are big enough and everything, but their calling card is more getting upfield and providing push in the pass game, making plays against the run, but they're not just that menacing hulk of mass there in the middle that makes life miserable in the run game.
He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, I think Reed Shepherd is going to steal minutes as a rookie for the Rockets this season. I'll tell you why. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth Payne and Brandon Scott instead of Sean Pendergast today. Having a good time rolling along.
Corey Barrett, one of our listeners, pointed out that you and I sounded pretty damn old when we were talking about social media earlier.
Yeah, well.
And if he could have heard us during the break, trying to figure out how to submit a ticket to IT, he would have been even more disgusted with us.
Yeah.
I'm just, I basically had to have you explain how computers work to me.
Yeah.
In the previous segment, as I try to submit a ticket the right way for the first time in my life.
Yeah. Honestly, there's just too much damn red tape. Like, can I just not shoot an email to the person that I know can fix it?
He's right down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the problem, though. The guy that I need to talk to, he is right down the hall, but I got to recognize and realize that he's probably got like 100 tasks to do for the day, and that me just coming down and like casually mentioning like, hey, can you fix this thing, means that he has to go in and write up the ticket that I'm struggling to fill out right now. So I just, out of respect to him, I'm gonna do it the right way, damn it.
Yeah, so some freelance work that I do, I need to submit a ticket over there as well. I got some equipment that's malfunctioning, but it's not to the point to where I'm not able to do the job.
Yeah.
But if I file the ticket and get it resolved, I'll be inherently better at the job because of it. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't done it yet.
I get more stress over an IT person helping me out remotely. I get like 10 times the stress as I do. Like, I would rather be in person with the IT person looking down their nose at me, disgusted at how dumb I am with computers and everything. I can handle that better in person than I can when I'm imagining what faces that they're making over the Zoom call or whatever, when it's just audio. I that's very, very stressful for me. Very stressful.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, like, I feel like it's helpful for me to be there, but it's probably not. Like, they're probably better off the less involved you are. Like, give them as much information about your problem as you possibly can, but the IT person is probably better off the less involved you are in trying to troubleshoot or problem
true.
Solve.
Yeah, but there are a lot of simple problems that can be fixed in like 30 seconds if they just get the ticket, versus if I want them to explain it to me too and everything, it's going to be a whole half hour out of their day.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But you know what, though? This is for Corey Barrett. I'm pretty sure you can appreciate this. I'd rather get old. You know, getting old is better than the alternative. I'd rather be the one that is, like, trying to millennial explain Drewski and social media and Ruby Rose. I don't even remember if that's the exact one that I said, but, like, the who the influencers are and how they work and all those kind of things. I'd rather get to that point than not. So it's better.
You'd rather get to the point where you're alive to do it, you mean?
It beats the hell out of, like, what, not being old, right?
Or, it is. You know what I've realized is that with each passing year, I get more and more reluctant to want to learn the new technology. But then I realize that, okay, there are a lot of the people that really thrive in life later on are the ones that adopt, you know, like at one point they get an email address, they get social media if they have to for their work and everything. That the more you fight it, it's kind of like when you stop moving as you get older. All of a sudden you go downhill real fast if all of a sudden you just stop going for walks and everything. You gotta try to incorporate the technology into your life.
Yeah,
at least a little bit.
It's like me in TikTok. I went in kicking and screaming. I went from not quite 15 years ago. Let's call it 12 or 13 years ago. Trying to explain how great Twitter was to my editors at the newspaper I was working at the time. Some older guys that were like, Twitter? I'm not doing that. It's ridiculous. And the ironic part was, these guys were really smart, well-read, would have been excellent on Twitter and have since become pretty good on Twitter. And I'm like, guys, you guys got to be on there. Y'all are actually what Twitter needs. Like, intelligent people, like real intelligent people. They didn't understand it at the time.
I'm glad they succeeded.
Yeah.
I'm glad you succeeded, Brandon, in making Twitter such an intelligent place to hang out.
Yeah, but they went kicking and screaming the same way that I have with TikTok. And it's just like a circle of life type of thing. It's like, hey, man, people are trying to explain to you
what do I do on TikTok? What's the average 49-year-old need to know about getting on TikTok if it's going to help them with their, like, we're in the media and entertainment business, so it's obvious what that is. But I guess, yeah, like, for the selling point for the average middle-aged dude is like, hey, look, you kind of get a feel for what your kids are talking about or your grandkids are into. There's a whole different type of humor now that I can barely grasp or understand. All I know is that these kids are way funnier than I am.
Yeah.
I'm starting to recognize that some of my dad jokes are indeed dad jokes, even though they would have been cutting edge 30 years ago.
Yeah. So that, as far as how to make the dad jokes less daddy-ish, I don't know how to do that because I am aging as well. But I will say the benefit of TikTok has been, you know, for me, not being feeling like I'm actually from the TikTok era, is how seamlessly they edit on their phones. Like, and I know you already do this a little bit, Seth, but
but it ain't seamless. No,
right?
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, I watch people do stuff. I watch these kids do stuff in 5 minutes. You know,
it's wild.
In the middle of a party, like that, I like struggle to do for over like 2 hours sitting in my office. Yeah,
that's me. That's me watching folks TikTok is saying, oh man, and it's funny, like as we're having this conversation, my daughter, 14 years old, who does not know that I'm on the air, is calling me right now. So the timing of that is perfect.
She's calling you on the telephone though?
Yeah, I don't know what that's
about. Very respectful of her.
She's at a church camp, and so I think that's part of it, because normally she would FaceTime me or just text me. I'm actually somewhat worried because I'm trying to figure out why would this 14-year-old...
Can you put her on the air? Can you patch her? Tell her to call the hotline.
I should.
I want to find out what's going on at church camp.
Yeah, I should text her. Hey, call.
Oh, yeah. Do you think this is a personal question or like a theological one?
Oh, talk on it. Yeah, she's 14.
Did she come home from church camp kind of with revelations, not the Bible revelations, but like with like kind of, does she come home like wanting to talk about a lot of the things in her life and everything?
No. She is the least. No.
She didn't get a damn thing out of church camp.
She is the least. I don't know if she didn't get a damn thing out of it, but she is definitely the least expressive person. She'll come back like, and she's at a real superficial age. So she'll come back like, telling me about what the next person had, that, you know, and like some kind of idea that sparked. Oh, I want this, or I want the latest iPad.
She
or
comes back with the most worldly possible concerns from church camp.
It's wild. That's why it's like, I thought y'all were studying the Bible, and it's like, no, I was studying Prada or I don't know, whatever the hell it is. Like, now I want to go to Banana Republic or to the Apple Store, you know. Like,
is it a sleepaway church camp?
Yeah, no, she's been there. I took her, so it's in Dallas. I took her on Well, she went on Monday. I took her to go with the one of our pastors and his daughters. They're the same age. And so he took all the girls the next day, so on Monday. So she's been there since Monday, and she gets back at some point. I need to figure that out, actually. She gets back at some point today.
Yeah.
That's going to be my job. That's going to be my job as her sole parent to figure out when does she come home from church camp. I'm glad.
You should quiz her on various parts of the Bible and also Reed Shepherd. Let's see if she picked up anything on Reed Shepherd.
Yeah.
What you got. Sorry, I derailed your whole segment
because no,
I was curious about church camp.
I want to know if my daughter has any sense for how much Reed Shepherd is going to impact this Rockets basketball team.
You're all in on Reed Shepherd, huh?
I am. Here's the best way I can put it. I was pleasantly surprised that they drafted him.
Yeah.
Because I think I had been rope-a-doped or pawned. You know how the power brokers like to use the media as pawns and how we're easily lied to and easily swayed by some of these lies sometimes. I'll disappoint you to let you know, Seth, I fell prey to this last week.
They weren't even going to make a pick.
No, I thought that they were going to draft Kling and use Alperen Şengün as trade bait.
Okay.
I was led to believe that. I thought that. Was clearly wrong about that. And you hear them talk about Reed Shepherd, how much they like him, how much they were sold on him. He was the top guy on their board. If he wasn't there for them at three, they were going to trade out of the pick and all of that. And I'm like, that ain't the way people were talking to me just a day ago. But okay, sure. Maybe I just got rope-a-dope, you know, or lied
to. I do. You know what? I do think that sometimes a sign of a good GM. Like how much did you not – how much of their draft plan did not leak out? And how close did they keep things to the vest? So I'll put that as a check plus in Rafael Stone's favor.
That's fair. Yeah, I think you can check that in his favor. And also, maybe they were even doing a little bit of throwing off of the scent, you know? I don't necessarily have the motivation for that or know why they would do that exactly. But maybe they were just trying to see, you know, what information got out there and who would go with what. You know, maybe it was just like a intellectual thought experiment. I don't know. But either way, I do think that Reed Shepherd is going to get minutes. I think he's going to steal minutes. The big thing about the Rockets is that they are bringing back a dozen of their top minutes getters last year. It is effectively the same team as last year. Just add Reed Shepherd and a healthy Steven Adams. And I would also point out this is the same team, but also Tari Eason missed a boatload of games, and you're going to add a healthy Tari Eason as well.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it is essentially the same team, but Reed Shepherd is going to steal minutes. Like he has a quality that nobody else on the team has. He's immediately the best at a very specific and important thing. And so it'll be interesting to see how they divvy that up, because somebody is going to have to play less so he can play more.
Well, and yeah, I mean, because you're talking about three-point shooting, which the Rockets were in the bottom third of the league in three-point shooting percentage. So it's like it's just so easy to visualize and see how it would work. Is that okay? You got a kid that it's very unlikely that all of a sudden he's going to lose his stroke just because he's in the NBA. So in catch-and-shoot situations especially, or in other situations, like you can bring him onto the court and get something out of him. So like that alone, even because there's one thing, which is delivering on your ultimate draft promise, which is becoming a complete all-around, obviously a starter. But his skill set is one that you can use. You already A, need, and that B, you can envision him coming in and doing well as a guy that is your outside shot ringer. And then that part of it, I'm right there with you on that. Beyond that, though, it's okay. How quickly does he replace whomever's on the roster right now?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing to put a pin in and to watch out for. I'll even say it like this. You mark my words on this. Reed Shepherd, to me, especially if he translates defensively like I think he will mark the beginning of the end of this Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet kind of hierarchy leadership thing. Like, I think in the very beginning, that's going to still be the case. By the end of it, maybe by the end of the year, we're going to start looking at it and start wondering, okay, when do they start moving off of those contracts? Because you're expecting some of the younger guys like Reed Shepherd, Amen Thompson. We'll see how Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün develop in year four. but you're expecting these younger guys to push the older guys out of their roles that they're currently in and to them and for them to ascend into those roles. And we'll just have to see how that actually plays out.
Let me ask you this, as you, as one of the two members of the H-Town Hoops podcast.
That's right.
Like, what's not, this isn't directly related to Reed Shepherd, but like, who's more likely gone next year if it had to be one of them, Jalen Green or Şengün?
Yeah, I would point to, if it was up to me, it would more likely be Jalen Green. Like, because I feel like Şengün has shown more. I have an issue quitting Jalen Green, but if you were to put my feet to the fire and ask me, I would trust Şengün more. I think if you were to ask the team, it might be flip-flopped. That's my honest take on it.
Okay, well, who's more likely gone, Dylan Brooks or Fred VanVleet?
I think
the one more directly related to Reed Shepherd.
I think it's Dylan Brooks, and it's awkward because him and Fred VanVleet have the more or have the more crossover on the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
But I think it is Dylan Brooks who ultimately is going to be more expendable, and that is to me related to Amen Thompson's ascension as a potential All-NBA defensive player, which I expect him to be, if not next year, at some point in his career. I think Amen Thompson will be a perennial candidate to be an All-NBA defensive player.
Yeah, and I think, like, with VanVleet, I mean, this is exactly what you hope out of VanVleet, is that he's this bridge guy, right? That he comes in, he provides veteran leadership and everything for the younger guys who will eventually take his place. So it's almost the Fred VanVleet being gone at some point is something that's says nothing about VanVleet necessarily. It's just that you did well with your younger guys.
He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next on Payne and Pendergast, let's circle back to these Texans training camp takes. We're only a couple of weeks away. I didn't get to get all of them off. We'll revisit some of them. We'll uncover some of them as well. Stay tuned.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in didn't get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The guys that are big enough and everything, but their calling card is more getting upfield and providing push in the pass game, making plays against the run, but they're not just that menacing hulk of mass there in the middle that makes life miserable in the run game.
He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott, in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next, I think Reed Shepherd is going to steal minutes as a rookie for the Rockets this season. I'll tell you why. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth Payne and Brandon Scott instead of Sean Pendergast today. Having a good time rolling along.
Corey Barrett, one of our listeners, pointed out that you and I sounded pretty damn old when we were talking about social media earlier.
Well.
And if he could have heard us during the break trying to figure out how to submit a ticket to IT, he would have been even more disgusted with us.
Yeah.
I'm just, I basically had to have you explain how computers work to me.
Yeah.
In the previous segment, as I try to submit a ticket the right way for the first time in my life.
Yeah. Honestly, there's just too much damn red tape. Like, can I just not shoot an email to the person that I know can fix it?
Or... he's right down the hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is the problem, though. The guy that I need to talk to, he is right down the hall. But I got to recognize and realize that he's probably got, like, 100 tasks to do for the day. And that me just coming down and, like, casually mentioning, like, hey, can you fix this thing? Means that he has to go in and write up the ticket that I'm struggling to fill out right now. So I just, out of respect to him, I'm gonna do it the right way, damn it.
Yeah, so some freelance work that I do, I need to submit a ticket over there as well. I got some equipment that's malfunctioning, but it's not to the point to where I'm not able to do the job.
Yeah.
But if I file the ticket and get it resolved, I'll be inherently better at the job because of it. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't done it yet.
I get more stress over an IT person helping me out remotely. I get like 10 times the stress as I do. Like, I would rather be in person with the IT person looking down their nose at me, disgusted at how dumb I am with computers and everything. I can handle that better in person than I can when I'm imagining what faces that they're making over the Zoom call or whatever, when it's just audio. That's very, very stressful for me. Very stressful.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, like, I feel like it's helpful for me to be there, but it's probably not. Like, they're probably better off the less involved you are. Like, give them as much information about your problem as you possibly can, but the IT person is probably better off the less involved you are in trying to troubleshoot or problem
true.
Solve.
Yeah, but there are a lot of simple problems that can be fixed in like 30 seconds if they just get the ticket, versus if I want them to explain it to me and everything, it's going to be a whole half hour out of their day.
Okay. Yeah. But you know what, though? And this is for Corey Barrett. I'm pretty sure he can appreciate this. I'd rather get old. You know, getting old is better than the alternative. I'd rather be the one that is like trying to millennial explain Drewski and social media and Ruby Rose. I don't even remember if that's the exact one that I said, but like the who the influencers are and how they work and all those kind of things. I'd rather get to that point than not. So it's better.
You'd rather get to the point where you're alive to do it, you mean?
Yeah, or just It beats the hell out of like what? Not being old, right?
Or, it is. You know what I've realized is that with each passing year, I get more and more reluctant to want to learn the new technology. But then I realize that, okay, there are a lot of the people that really thrive in life later on are the ones that adopt, you know, like at one point they get an email address, they get social media if they have to for their work and everything. The more you fight it, it's kind of like when you stop moving as you get older. All of a sudden you go downhill real fast if all of a sudden you just stop going for walks and everything. You gotta try to incorporate the technology into your life.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
It's like me in TikTok. I went in kicking and screaming. I went from not quite 15 years ago, let's call it 12 or 13 years ago, trying to explain how great Twitter was to my editors at the newspaper I was working at the time. Some older guys that were like, Twitter? I'm not doing that. It's ridiculous. And the ironic part was, these guys were really smart, well-read, would have been excellent on Twitter and have since become pretty good on Twitter. And I'm like, guys, you guys got to be on there. Y'all are actually what Twitter needs. Like, intelligent people, like real intelligent people. They didn't understand it at the time.
I'm glad they succeeded.
Yeah.
I'm glad you succeeded, Brandon, in making Twitter such an intelligent place to hang out.
Yeah, but they went kicking and screaming the same way that I have with TikTok. And it's just like a circle of life type of thing. It's like, hey, man, people are trying to explain to you
what's the average 49-year-old need to know about getting on TikTok if it's going to help them with their, like, we're in the media and entertainment business, so it's obvious what that is. But I guess, yeah, like, for the selling point for the average middle-aged dude is like, hey, look, you kind of get a feel for what your kids are talking about or your grandkids are into. There's a whole different type of humor now that I can barely grasp or understand. All I know is that these kids are way funnier than I am.
Yeah.
I'm starting to recognize that some of my dad jokes are indeed dad jokes, even though they would have been cutting edge 30 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, as far as how to make the dad jokes less daddy-ish, I don't know how to do that because I am aging as well. But I will say the benefit of TikTok has been, you know, for me, not being feeling like I'm actually from the TikTok era, is how seamlessly they edit on their phones. Like, and I know you already do this a little bit, Seth, but
yeah, but it ain't seamless. No,
right?
Yeah, I know. Like, yeah, I watch people do stuff. I almost do that. I watch these kids do stuff in 5 minutes. You know,
it's wild.
In the middle of a party, like that, I like struggle to do for over like 2 hours sitting in my office. Yeah,
that's me. That's me watching folks TikTok is saying, oh man, and it's funny, like as we're having this conversation, my daughter, 14 years old, who does not know that I'm on the air, is calling me right now. So like, so the timing of that is perfect.
She's calling you on the telephone though?
Yeah, I don't know what that's
about. Very respectful of her.
She's at a church camp, and so I think that's part of it, because normally she would FaceTime me or just text me. I'm actually somewhat worried because I'm trying to figure out why would this 14-year-old...
Can you put her on the air? Can you patch her? Tell her to call the hotline.
I should.
I want to find out what's going on at church camp.
Yeah, I should text her. Hey, call.
Yeah. Do you think this is a personal question or like a theological one?
Oh, talk on it. Yeah, she's 14.
She come home from church camp kind of with revelations, not the Bible revelations, but like with like kind of, does she come home like wanting to talk about a lot of the things in her life and everything?
No. She is the least. No.
She don't get a damn thing out of church camp.
She is the least. I don't know if she doesn't get a damn thing out of it, but she is definitely the least expressive person. She'll come back like, and she's at a real superficial age. So she'll come back like telling me about what the next person had, you know, and like some kind of idea that sparked, oh, I want this, or I want the latest iPad. Or,
she comes back with the most worldly possible concerns from church camp.
It's wild. That's why it's like, I thought y'all were studying the Bible, and it's like, no, I was studying Prada, or I don't know, whatever the hell it is. Like, now I want to go to Banana Republic or to the Apple Store. You know, like,
is it a sleepaway church camp?
Yeah, you know, she's been there. I took her, so it's in Dallas. I took her on, well, she went on Monday. I took her to go with the one of our pastors and his daughters. They're the same age. And so he took all the girls the next day, so on Monday. So she's been there since Monday, and she gets back at some point. I need to figure that out, actually. She gets back at some point today.
Yeah.
That's going to be my job. That's going to be my job as her sole parent to figure out when does she come home from church camp. I'm glad.
You should quiz her on various parts of the Bible and also Reed Shepherd. Let's see if she picked up anything on Reed Shepherd.
Yeah.
What you got. Sorry, I derailed your whole segment.
No.
I was curious about church camp.
I want to know if my daughter has any sense for how much Reed Shepherd is going to impact this Rockets basketball team.
You're all in on Reed Shepherd, huh?
I am. Here's the best way I can put it. I was pleasantly surprised that they drafted him.
Yeah.
Because I think I had been rope-a-doped or pawned. You know how the power brokers like to use the media as pawns, and how we're easily lied to and easily swayed by some of these lies sometimes. I'll disappoint you to let you know, Seth, I fell prey to this last week.
You thought they weren't even going to make a pick.
No, I thought that they were going to draft Kling and use Alperen Şengün as trade bait.
Okay.
I was led to believe that. I thought that. Was clearly wrong about that. And you hear them talk about Reed Shepherd, how much they like him, how much they were sold on him. He was the top guy on their board. If he wasn't there for them at three, they were going to trade out of the pick and all of that. And I'm like, that ain't the way people were talking to me just a day ago. But okay, sure. Maybe I just got rope-a-dope, you know, or lied
to. Well, I do. You know what? I do think that sometimes a sign of a good GM. Like how much did you not – how much of their draft plan did not leak out? And how close did they keep things to the vest? So I'll put that as a check plus in Rafael Stone's favor.
That's fair. Yeah, I think you can check that in his favor. And also, maybe they were even doing a little bit of throwing off of the scent, you know? I don't necessarily have the motivation for that or know why they would do that exactly. But maybe they were just trying to see, you know, what information got out there and who would go with what. You know, maybe it was just like a intellectual thought experiment. I don't know.
Yeah.
But either way, I do think that Reed Shepherd is going to get minutes. I think he's going to steal minutes. The big thing about the Rockets is that they are bringing back a dozen of their top minutes getters last year. It is effectively the same team as last year. Just add Reed Shepherd and a healthy Steven Adams. And I would also point out, this is the same team, but also Tari Eason missed a boatload of games, and you're going to add a healthy Tari Eason as well.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it is essentially the same team, but Reed Shepherd is going to steal minutes. Like, he has a quality that nobody else on the team has. He's immediately the best at a very specific and important thing. And so it'll be interesting to see how they divvy that up, because somebody is going to have to play less so he can play more.
Well, and yeah, I mean, because you're talking about three-point shooting, which the Rockets were in the bottom third of the league in three-point shooting percentage. So it's like, it's just so easy to visualize and see how it would work. Is that okay? You got a kid that it's very unlikely that all of a sudden he's going to lose his stroke just because he's in the NBA. So in catch and shoot situations, especially, or in other situations, like, yeah, you can bring him onto the court and get something out of them. So, like, that alone, even because there's one thing, which is delivering on your ultimate draft promise, which is becoming a complete all-around, obviously, a starter. But his skill set is one that you can use. You already, A, need, and that, B, you can envision him coming in and doing well as a guy that is your outside shot ringer. And then, like, so, yeah, that part of it, I'm right there with you on that. Beyond that, though, it's okay. How quickly does he replace whomever's on the roster right now?
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing to put a pin in and to watch out for. I'll even say it like this. You mark my words on this. Reed Shepherd, to me, especially if he translates defensively like I think he will mark the beginning of the end of this Dillon Brooks, Fred VanVleet kind of hierarchy leadership thing. Like, I think in the very beginning, that's going to still be the case. By the end of it, maybe by the end of the year, we're going to start looking at it and start wondering, okay, when do they start moving off of those contracts? Because you're expecting some of the younger guys like Reed Shepard, Amen Thompson. We'll see how Jalen Green and Alperen Sengun develop in year four. But you're expecting these younger guys to push the older guys out of their roles that they're currently in and for them to ascend into those roles. And we'll just have to see how that actually plays out.
Let me ask you this, as one of the two members of the H-Town Hoops podcast.
That's right.
Like, what's not, this isn't directly related to Reed Shepard, but like, who's more likely gone next year if it had to be one of them, Jalen Green or Sengun?
Yeah, I would point to, if it was up to me, it would more likely be Jalen Green. Like, because I feel like Sengun has shown more. I have an issue quitting Jalen Green, but if you were to put my feet to the fire and ask me, I would trust Sengun more. I think if you were to ask the team, it might be flip-flopped. That's my honest take on it.
Okay, well, who's more likely gone, Dillon Brooks or Fred VanVleet?
I think
the one more directly related to Reed Shepard.
I think it's Dillon Brooks, and it's awkward because him and Fred VanVleet have the more crossover on the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
But I think it is Dillon Brooks who ultimately is going to be more expendable, and that is, to me, related to Amen Thompson's ascension as a potential All-NBA defensive player, which I expect him to be, if not next year, at some point in his career. I think Amen Thompson will be a perennial candidate to be an All-NBA defensive player.
Yeah, and I think, like, with VanVleet, I mean, this is exactly what you hope out of VanVleet, is that he's this bridge guy, right? That he comes in, he provides veteran leadership and everything for the younger guys who will eventually take his place. So it's almost the Fred VanVleet being gone at some point is something that says nothing about VanVleet necessarily. It's just that you did well with your younger guys.
He is Seth Payne. I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Coming up next on Payne and Pendergast, let's circle back to these Texans training camp takes. We're only a couple of weeks away. I didn't get to get all of them off. We'll revisit some of them. We'll uncover some of them as well. Stay tuned.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Everybody knows it. Toyota trucks are the stuff of legends. Rugged, durable, everlasting. Toyota makes trucks that just don't quit. And now, Toyota is driving that legacy toward the future with two of their most powerful trucks ever, the new Tundra and the all-new Tacoma. In a half-ton Tundra, you can rule the roads. From the comfort of a spacious cabin with connected tech and plenty of hauling power, the Tundra is ready to work hard and play even harder. Or check out the all-new 24 Tacoma, redesigned and electrified to maximize your adventure. With a bevy of available off-road driving and power transfer modes, you will effortlessly crush the conditions. And with the Tacoma's reimagined interior, you'll do it in style. And right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.